So can we pray together as we begin this morning and ask for God's help? Guys, here's the reality of the matter. Each and every week, your receptivity of the service or the sermon is based upon your level of expectation. You realize that? It's when you come in expecting God to do something that you're going to receive something from God. So I'm just praying, God, open our hearts to receive. Help us to have expectations of what you want to speak to us, what you want to do in our lives today. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this privilege to gather together today. Lord, I just thank you for technology that allows us even to gather. We're in different people's homes today. And Lord, we just pray, God, that your presence would fill our church, this building, our lives, our families, these homes. And Lord, we just thank you for this day. And all of God's people said, amen. How many people would agree it's been quite an unusual week? It's been quite an unusual week. I mean, it just seemed to continue to escalate every day. It just seemed to be one more thing. I mean, I think of all the different government restrictions. They've told us about travel. There's restrictions on travel. They're talking about banning large gatherings. I've heard numbers of if there's gatherings more than 250 plus, let's kind of get rid of those gatherings. They're closing schools. Our universities across the state are closing, across our country are closing. Even our local schools here in the state of Wisconsin, they made a decision to close for a 3-week period. So make sure that we're taking care of that. There's also businesses. I've even heard from somebody today that their business is asking them possibly to say, hey, for the next 2 weeks, will you live at work? How many people want to live at work for the next 2 weeks? So there's been a lot of just different thought process here, churches, even sporting events. I mean, it's just rocked my world this week. How about you guys? When you hear about the NBA, I'm like, the NBA? Well, that wasn't a big deal for me because I could take or leave that. But when they put their hands on March Madness, I mean, Nolan was coming home. Well, he is home. We picked him up at the airport at 1:30, about 1 o'clock on Friday morning. And our whole plan this weekend was going to be, hey, we're gonna buy pizzas, we're gonna buy wings, we're gonna watch conference tournaments. It's gonna be awesome. And then they canceled all that, and I was like, what are we gonna do? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? What are we gonna do? So we still had pizzas, but now it's watching. I actually watched reruns of different year tournaments. It's that sad, but it's been an interesting time. And all this is because of the response and the decisions made because of the coronavirus, or some people call it the COVID-19. It's a virus just started just a couple short months ago in China, where it touched just a few dozen people, and now has grown to tens of thousands across the world. And now what they're calling it this global pandemic. I mean, this is, wow, this is crazy. I've never experienced this. Yesterday, I turned 56, and I'm like, I've never seen this type of restrictions and things happening at such a quick pace. And for many people in our world today, this is a really scary time. A lot of people. It's a time of uncertainty. We're not sure what's this going to look like a week from now. What's this going to look like 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now? What's this going to look like for Easter Sunday? Is there going to be Easter Sunday gatherings? So there's a whole bunch of uncertainty. There's a whole bunch of people are walking around in fear. Okay, fear. So the question that we need to ask is, how should we respond? I mean, I believe that as God's children, because we put our faith in Jesus Christ, I believe that our response should be and can certainly be different than the response of the people in the world. How many people agree with that? Amen? Just a few of you. That's impressive. Everybody together, amen. So what should we do? I mean, should we run out and buy extreme amounts of toilet paper? And hand sanitizers. I was reading a Google website the other day. We talked about this family from Australia. There you go, Australia. This family had 10 years of toilet paper delivered to their house. I mean, you know, that's pretty extreme, 10 years of toilet paper. I might have to ask them for some one day or another, okay? I mean, how should we respond? Should we practice what now they're calling social distancing? Has anybody heard that terminology yet? Social distancing. I was watching TV yesterday, and on the bottom it was talking about this very famous athlete. where she made a decision that for the next 6 weeks, she's going to spend the next 6 weeks in solitude. You know what? I'm not here to judge that, because that might be what's best for her, and her doctors may have said that's probably what might be best for you, but I want to let you know I can't do that. How many people know I've got to go out of the house every day of my life? So 6 weeks would be another form of torment. But I respect that, and I'm not here to put down whatever anybody's decision is. That's not why we're here. Or should we bury our heads in the sand and act as though nothing's happening? What should we do? Should we ignore it and think maybe if we ignore it long enough, it will go away? I want to let you know, I want to make this super duper clear, because I don't want to receive texts and emails this week. I want to make it super clear. I'm not suggesting that this is how we go about this. Does everybody hear me this morning? I believe that we need to be informed. I believe that we need to be informed. I believe that we need to take necessary precautions. Okay? I really believe in all that. I'm thankful for the people who are making decisions, that are trying to, their heart is to help us. So I'm not opposed to that. So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying there's one option that we need to make sure isn't an option at all in our life. And that one option, I think, that shouldn't be an option at all in the life of the believers is this. Everybody say it together. Living in fear. I don't think for the child of God that should not be an option in our world, in our life. So how can we overcome fear? Because the reality is fear is a natural response for human beings. When we hear of something that might fear our livelihood or challenge us and put us in jeopardy, the natural response is that people respond by just fear. But how many people know the Word of God is very clear, and the command is given several times that we are to fear not? I want everybody to say that together. Fear not. I've heard several times, even as early as yesterday, that in the Bible, this command, fear not, is given 365 times. Isn't that interesting? Because if you know, there's 365 days in a year. So my thought is God must have known that we as people need this continual reminder. And it's not just about this issue. It's about a lot of other issues too, even private issues. We have fear. And God wants us to be people that we don't live in fear. Amen? So he gives us this command 365 times, so each day we can come and we can say, God, you commanded me to fear not. It might not be this virus. It might be something else in your life that you have fear of. But it all applies today, that God wants us not to live in fear. And I want to show you just a couple great verses that talk about this. The first one comes from Joshua 1, verse 9. And it's in this verse that Moses has died, and now God's calling Joshua to be the next leader. How many people know Joshua felt like he wasn't adequate, he wasn't up to it? And God says, I'm going to lead you into the promised land. You're going to lead my people. And Joshua's fearful, because he's fearful of what may happen. He's fearful of the enemy. And I love what God says. He said, this is my command. Everybody say this together. Be strong and courageous. So I'm sure Joshua is shaking in his boots like, oh my goodness, how are we going to make this happen? And God says, hey, be strong, be courageous. He says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. And then he tells us the game breaker. Why? He says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How many people know that God is with us today wherever we go? How many people know that God is with us whatever we're going through today? It may be the virus, it may be something else. I want to let you know we're not only talking about this virus, we're talking about the whole totality of your life. God is with you wherever you go. Let's look at one other verse. This is actually one of Heather's favorite verses. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. How many people know fear is a spirit? You got that this morning? The verse says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind, because that's where a lot of fear originates, is in our mind. And I love that verse, and I love it so much that if you would, I want to encourage us all to read that together. Follow along with me. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's Paul talking to a young Timothy who is facing a lot of challenges as he's pastoring the church in Ephesus, which was a huge church, a huge responsibility. Paul's saying, hey, don't be fearful. That's not the spirit that God has placed within us. He's given us that spirit of power, love, and sound mind. So my question is, how can we possibly live free of fear in times like this, in times that you're going through, in times of uncertainty? Because the reality is, this is uncertain times. These are uncertain times. We're not sure what tomorrow holds. We're not sure what a month from now holds. So how do we live free from fear? Because I believe with all my heart that that's God's will for every one of us in this room, everyone watching online, for every believer in the world. Whatever we're going through, God doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to rise above it. But how is that possible? What's the equation? How do we get there? So what I want to do today is I want you to open your Bibles, if you have your Bibles. I know it's a little dark. Don't worry about that. I want to keep the lights down for this. But let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. We're going to read about 11 verses today, a great story you're probably well familiar with. We're going to pick it up in verse 22, and it's here that we're going to receive some direction. We're going to receive some help of how that we can overcome fear. And it's going to be so basic, but oftentimes we need to be reminded of the basics. We need to be reminded of things we've known or heard before. We need to come back to central point, and we need to put these things into practice. So what I want to do is I want to read this passage from Matthew 14, and we'll pick it up in verse 22. It begins this way. It says, immediately after this. What does that mean? That means that just in the previous verses, what's been going on is there were 5,000 people, which only included men, which probably would equal about 15,000 people, were hungry. And Jesus told the disciples, you feed these guys, you feed these people. And what happens is we know the story. Jesus feeds 5,000 plus people with what? Two loaves, or somebody help me real quick. Five loaves and two fishes, okay? The Bible scholars here. Five loaves and two fishes. How many people know that's a miracle? 5,000 people don't eat five loaves and two fishes. It just doesn't happen. How many people know that with God, all things are possible? Amen. So after this happens, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and that they go across to the other side of the lake. Well, he had the job of sending the people home. It says, after sending them home, Jesus went up into the hills by himself and he went to pray. It said, night fell while he was there all alone. Verse 24, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were frightening. They were fighting heavy waves. You need to realize these aren't just casual people on the water. These were guys that they spent their life on the water. Many of them were fishermen. They knew how to navigate storms, but obviously there was a storm that was so big and so different that they were literally fearful of their lives. What would happen? Okay, verse 23, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came out to them and check out his mode of travel, walking on the water. Isn't that cool? Verse 26, while the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out. Notice, in their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. Come on, guys, not a ghost. Verse 27, isn't it fun to read this because we know the details now? We weren't in the boat, okay? Verse 27, but Jesus spoke to them at once. And I want you to check out what Jesus said to these guys that were fearful of their lives. He says, hey, guys, don't be afraid. Take courage. And the reason why they didn't need to be afraid and take courage, because here's the game changer. Everybody together, say that together. I am here. Jesus is saying, hey, guys, don't worry about what's going on now. Change is taking place. I'm here now. It's going to make all the difference. Verse 28, then Peter called to him. I love Peter. Peter gets a bad rap in this story, but he's the only one, in my opinion, that had courage to talk to Jesus. You know what I'm talking about? It says, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, and I love his request, he gets big and bold. He says, tell me to come to you, and Lord, tell me to come walking on the water. I love Peter. He's like, hey, Jesus, you're doing it. I want to do it too. How many people know Peter's a pretty cool guy? I'm like, yeah, Jesus, you can do this. Why don't I want to give it a shot too? And sometimes we give a rap because we know, a bad rap to Peter because we know the rest of the story. But the other 11 guys are sitting there shaking in their boots, and Peter's saying, hey, Jesus, call me to walk on the water too. And I love Jesus. He says, okay, Peter, yes, come, come. Yes, yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went, I love this. Just visualize this in your mind. Peter begins to, he went over the side of the boat. He begins to climb out of the boat. And check this out, guys, what he did. He walked on the water. Are you hearing me this morning? You're acting like this isn't a big deal. Peter, a person like you and I with sinful nature, walked on water, and I want to let you know it wasn't ice. It was water. It was a whatever. Okay, some of you got that. The rest of you are like, oh, yeah, okay. He walked on the water towards Jesus. Then check it out. There's a game changer here. But when he saw, everybody look at that word, when he saw, he began to look around and he saw the strong wind and he began to see the waves. He was terrified. And look at what happened as a result of taking his focus off of Jesus. Look at what happened. He began to sink. The guy that was in the water, walking on water, looked around, began to look at all the problems, all the challenges. And as a result, he began to sink and he began to say, save me, Lord, he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. The end of the story. The wind stopped. Isn't that a great story? Well, that's enthusiasm. Isn't that a great story? Whew, that's a great story. Give it up for that story, okay. Because in this passage, what we're going to see is we're going to see the key for us to living a life free of fear, okay? And we're not only going to see it once, we're going to see it twice. Jesus is going to confirm this thought twice, that this is the key to overcoming fear. If we look back again at verse 27, okay, get the context again. They're in the boat, it's raining, the waves are crashing, the lightning's coming down, rain's coming down. It's, 3 o'clock in the morning, it's dark out on the water. They're fearful, they wonder if they're going to live. And what do they see? They see somebody come walking on the water. And I want you to see once again what Jesus told everyone in the boat at that moment. He said, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. And I believe what Jesus is doing when he says, I am here, he's letting them know, hey, guys, shift your focus and begin to focus on me, not the storm. Don't look at the waves. Don't look at all the wind. Don't look at all the things that are going on around you. What Jesus is saying when he's saying, I am here, he's saying, hey, put your focus on me. So how do we overcome fear? We overcome fear by keeping our focus on Jesus Christ. I want you to hear that again. How do we overcome fear in troubling times and times of uncertainty, times where we don't know what tomorrow holds? How do we keep free? How do we free ourselves from fear? We keep our focus on Jesus. Has everybody got that this morning? We keep our focus on Jesus. Why? Because he's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's everything in between. He is in control. He's been given all power. He's been given all authority. His name is Jesus. And in times of fear, Jesus is saying, hey, don't get caught looking around. Don't get caught getting caught up in all these things. Keep your focus on me because I'm in control. Then if you focus and go down to the next group of verses again, in verses 28 through 30, we see the same thing. Jesus is saying the same thing. It says, then Peter called out to him and said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come and walk on the water. Yes, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, the waves, he was terrified. He began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. I want you to notice something super duper important here. When Peter kept his focus on who? On Jesus. How many people know he was able to pull off the miraculous? You hear me this morning? When he kept his eyes on Jesus, it was amazing what he was able to do. He was able to partake in a miracle. He was able to do incredible things. He was able to walk on water. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and when he began to look at all the things that were going on, the storm, the wind, the waves, the darkness, the lightning, all the things that are going on at 3 o'clock in the morning that they're fearful of, when he begins to look at those things, he begins to sink. And I want us to get that this morning because the same thing is true of each and every one of us this morning. And that is that when we continually focus on the negative that's going on around us, what's going to happen is sooner or later your heart's going to begin to sink. But if we'll keep our focus on Jesus Christ, how many people know we're going to make it through whatever gets in our way? Are you hearing me this morning? That no matter what comes our way, if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, if we'll stay focused on Christ, I want to let you know we're going to make it through this difficult time. Not only this this virus, it may be something very closer and even more personal than that. I just want to let you know there are a lot of storms that come in our life. Even before Jesus died, he said, take heart. In this world, you will face troubles, but overcome because I've overcome all those things. Amen? And I want to encourage you, we have such a beautiful assurance. We have such a beautiful foundation that we have the opportunity to build upon, and his name is Jesus. And I want to let you know, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one in control today. He's in control of everything that's going on. Nothing's catching him by surprise. But here's what I want to encourage us to do. I'm not saying turn off the news and act like it's not happening, because it is happening. There's things happening at a fast rate of speed right now. It's changing daily. I'm not saying be oblivious, be like an ostrich, put your head in the sand. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, hey, this is what I want you to do. Yes, be aware of what's going on, but don't be fearful. I want to say, hey, will we as a church begin to be people that will begin to focus on Jesus Christ? Because there's a lot of people out there that are worried and fearful in these times of uncertainty. They need to see the body of Christ stepping up, stepping forward, and saying, hey, there's a people that right now, when everything's going crazy, they seem to have peace. They seem to have direction. They seem to still have vision. They seem to be still living life large and full, and it's because they're keeping their eyes on the one who is the author and the perfecter of their faith. Amen? Amen? Amen. So how do we keep our focus on Jesus? I just want to give you some practical things that we can do beginning today, tomorrow, this week, the weeks ahead. What are some ways that we can keep our focus on Jesus? Let's just look at a few. We have three of them real quick. First way we can keep our focus on Jesus is by spending time reading the Word. I know that sounds very churchy. It sounds very trite. It sounds very the thing that I'm supposed to say, but I want to let you know this works. Does everybody hear me? This works. How many people know this works? There's something about spending time in the Word of God that works. I love the verse in Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the Word of God is, everybody say these three words together, alive and active. It's not a regular reading. It's not a regular book. There's something that happens inside of us. Faith begins to rise up. Clarity begins to come. Peace begins to come as people spend time reading the Word of God. So I want to encourage you, when you begin to have times of worry in the days ahead and you're like, what's going to happen? I want that to be a time that causes you to run to God's Word. Amen? I want us to be people, we give you a reading schedule in your on your flyer every day, every Sunday, your information sheet. Right now, we're going through the book of John. Pick it up with us. Let's get into God's Word in these troubled times. And let's just say, God, my foundation is going to be in your Word. I'm very challenged with this, that we need to be people that we just don't talk about the Word, but we're in the Word. So will you get into the Word with me this week? And will we be people that say, Lord, I'm going to just draw and keep my focus on you, Jesus, as I read your Word. You are my focus, okay? Here's another way you can do this. Well, that was the first one, scripture reading. Here's another one, prayer. Prayer is a big deal. How many people know we aren't to be people who worry, we're to be people who pray? That's what makes us different. We've seen this verse 1,000 times plus, but let's read it this morning like it's the first time we've ever read it. Paul says this, he says, don't worry about, can everybody say that word together? Can we say it again? Paul says, don't worry about anything. COVID-19, don't worry about it. And I'm not saying he's saying that in the sense of don't ignore it. He's saying don't let it consume your life. Don't let it steal your joy. Don't let it take away your life. He says, don't worry about anything, but here's the antidote. Instead, everybody together, pray about everything. And we're going to spend just a few minutes here. In just a few minutes, we're going to have some people come, and we're going to pray for our country. Because we believe as God's people, we have a responsibility. We're going to pray. We're going to intercede for other people who we don't even know. So we're going to pray about everything. He goes on to say, tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. And here's the result. Then you will experience God's peace And God's peace exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and will guard your minds as we live in Christ Jesus. How many people know one of the greatest gifts that our community, our cities need today is peace? Amen? People need peace. Not the peace that the world gives. We need the peace that only God can give us. That's shalom. That no matter what the storms are around, we can walk almost in this bubble where we're just like, whoa, we have peace. And I want to let you know, you can have peace. You can have peace. You can have peace in these troubled times, in these times of uncertainty. So what I want to do, and I'm kind of not really alerted these people to do this, but I just want a couple people right now in this day of prayer, we just want to just pray for our country. So Dan, if you'd just come forward, if you'd help me out this morning, you'll come up in the center, Dan, so we can have you on the screen. And actually, I'm going to have Heather also pray. We're going to have these couple people pray that today. Let's just pray. This is where we're praying. We're praying for our country. We're praying in a country that's full of just uncertainty and fear. And there's this concern about the health. I just want to pray for those things this morning. I want us as a church to rise up and intercede for people we don't even know. Can we do that this morning? I want us to pray because God's commanded us not to worry, but God's commanded us to pray. So can we turn this into a prayer meeting just for a few minutes this morning? Because our country needs us to step up and help them. So Dan, will you lead us in prayer as the Lord directs you? Can we pray for...
Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for loving us so much. We thank you for your word and the encouragement that you give through your word. Do not be afraid. For Lord, you are in control of all things. We don't know what's happening around us. There's this virus that's around that's hurting many people and vulnerable people, Lord. First of all, we lift them up to you. We just ask that you give them strength to fight this disease, whatever it attacks them. And that they have the strength. We pray for wisdom and discernment. Amen. For the leaders of our country, for the doctors and the medical staff, for the people throughout the world that need you. There's many people that are affected by this. We ask you to strengthen families, to encourage one another, to take care of one another. Lord, give us wisdom that goes beyond who we are. Lord, we don't Amen. Walk in fear, but we seek out your wisdom, what to do, how to reach out, how to love one another, how to help our neighbor who may be fearful. Lord, how to encourage them, how to reach out and maybe bring them food or bring them things that they need for their home, Lord. We can do major things during this time of crisis. Lord, and as a time of crisis, we know that you're in control of it all. Amen. You people empower who they are, where they're at for a time as this. Amen. You know each doctor, you know each person that's trying to bring this about to keep us all safe so this doesn't become worse than it already is. Lord, we're uncertain about tomorrow, but you know what? Yesterday I was uncertain about today. Amen. Lord, our That's uncertainty right. becomes certainty because of who you are.
Amen.
And we give you praise, glory, and honor for who yes. you are. We give you praise, glory, and honor for what we haven't even seen yet. And we just trust in you, in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Dan, if you'll stay up with Heather, that would be great. Before Heather prays, I just want Dan mentioned something in his prayer that I want to call out and challenge you to do. If you have elderly people in your family, elderly people that you just know of, I want to challenge you just in the weeks ahead. Make sure you check up on them. Make sure you call people and say, hey, is everything going okay? Is there anything I can do to help you? Let's use this to be a time where the church begins to serve people. Amen? Because one of the greatest ways that we represent Jesus is by being his hands, by being his feet, by serving. So I want to encourage you, if you know somebody, especially if they're living alone, make sure that we're checking up on people, checking in, saying, hey, is everything okay? Is there anything that I can do? So let's be the church. Let's be the hands and feet. Let's if you take them a meal, take them some groceries, whatever it is. And make sure when you're there that you spend time just to pray with them. Just pray that God would give them peace, that God would give them health. So I want to challenge us as the church, let's be activated. I think this is going to be a great hour. I really believe this is going to be a great hour for the church to show the love of Jesus to this world. So thanks for bringing that up, Dan. Heather, would you do us the honor of leading us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we are able to gather today, Father God. And I thank you that your word says where two or three are gathered Amen. In your name, you are in our midst.
That's
and
right.
Father God, even online, you are in our midst, Father. And I thank you for that. And Lord, I just really am just believing for us to grab on as a church that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, Father God,
Amen.
And of love and a sound mind.
Yes,
Father
so.
God, when we feel that fear
Praise
moving in,
Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we will change our mind. Mindset. We will say, we will speak your word, Father God, whether it's do not be afraid, because we know that's in your word, or peace be with you. Lord, you are here, and I thank you for that. And Lord, I just pray for those around us who are living in fear and just uncertainty because of the uncertainty, Lord. I just believe, Father God, for your peace to surround them. Lord, if anybody in this building right now is just living in such fear of this, Father, I just pray for your peace to surround them, that they will sense your presence, Father God, your peace that surpasses all of our understanding. We don't always understand it, but Father God,
yes.
you are there. You are our
Amen.
Peace.
That's
and
good.
I thank you for that, Father God.
That's good.
And I just pray, Father God, as you've given us a spirit of power and you've given us a spirit of love, as we've already prayed, Lord, that we will be loving to those around us who may be living in fear. Father God, that we reach out to them, that we continue to let them know that we love them, we support them, we are here for them, Father God. And I thank you for that. Lord, give us a sound mind. Help us to read your word, to take it in, to
Amen.
Know exactly what you're telling us, Father God.
Amen.
You are with us. Thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, too, so much. I'm sorry I put you on the spot, but I tell you what, thank you so much for those prayers. Let's give them thanks this morning for leading us in prayer. Amen. 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 How many people know peace has a name, and his name is? How many people know hope has a name, and his name is? Man, it's all in Jesus, man. I tell you what, I hope we grasp how great of a treasure we have in Jesus. I hope we just grasp how Jesus gives us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Everything we need is found in the person of Jesus. I just want us not to be churchy and think, well, I know the church. This is more than just little patented answers. This is reality, folks. We have Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
He's our hope. He's our joy. He's our strength. He's our strong tower. We could run to him and be glad. Amen? And I just want us to just quit just going through exercises of religion. Let's really, this is going to be a season where people are going to want to know about Jesus. And we're going to have a great opportunity before us. So the first two ways that we can keep our focus on Jesus is by scripture reading, prayer. And then I want to end with this one. And it's about fellowship. It's about fellowship. I want to talk about this one real quick. I just want to encourage us that in this time that we don't pull away from everyone, every single person in our lives. But I pray that during this time, one of the ways we're going to be able to keep our focus on Jesus is by fellowshipping with other believers, other like-minded followers of Jesus. How many people know that's going to be big? I just want to share a story with you. This last Thursday night, Heather and I invited a couple, two different couples to our home. And Thursday before they came, you were hearing all this stuff coming out for the first time. All of the NBA is closing. Yeah, the stock market, everything. It's just crazy. All the different reports were coming in. And I'm just like you. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. This seems to just be so much going on. So we actually had this meal with these people scheduled weeks in advance. And it just happened to fall on Thursday night. And they came over and we had dinner together. It was so wonderful. Heather made this beautiful meal for all of us. And Heather, it was awesome. I'm still eating it yesterday. So we had this wonderful meal together. And then I pulled out these cards that I went to a church once, and they gave me these cards. And the cards were called Reclaim the Table, meaning reclaim the family table, your family getting around the dinner table. And they gave you these cards, and each card has a question. And they were supposed to be used as icebreakers, okay? So here's the story. Before they came, I said, Heather, do you think we can pull out the cards? She said, don't pull out the cards. but man, when they got in the room, it was like the Spirit was leading, pull out the cards. I was like, I got to pull out the cards, honey. I just got to do it. Forgive me, but I got to pull out the cards. And I loved it. There was all kind of questions like, what's your favorite meal? So everybody, all six of us went around, what's your favorite meal? I'm like, steak and potatoes. Come on. By the way, there was this one guy, his favorite meal, a brat. I'm like, a brat? I can satisfy that for you once a week, man. Come over, a brat. Then he started getting real sentimental. He was like, well, it's got to be the right setting. It's got to be like this perfect spring day. I'm like, dude, come back to the man side. You know what I mean? I love that guy. He's awesome. He won't be back to church ever. But it was all, if you could be on a sitcom, what sitcom would have been on? I mean, it's okay. It's the level of variance is some are real fun, and then there's some that get real, real deep. Like one, the last one of the night was this. What do you want to be remembered for? At the end of your life, they're speaking about you at your funeral service. What do you want to be remembered for? We had some great answers. One of the ladies that was there said something along these lines is, I grew up in a family where there wasn't a lot of love and acceptance, but I want my life to be totally the opposite. I want my life to be a life where there's love and I express that to people. They know I love them and I care for them. I said, awesome. But here was the cool thing about the night. There were six people in a pursuit of Jesus that got together. And I tell you what, when we went through these questions, there was so much laughter in the room. And Heather knows how I operate, that there's only a few things that make me laugh where I'm out of control laughing. How many people have those moments where you have out of control laughing? And that night I had several bouts of out of control laughter, and it was so fun, because how many people know laughter is actually good for your health? And it's great for your health. And we just had about 2.5-3 hours where we just sat around in fellowship, laughing, having great times together. And when they left that night, I texted a few of them, and I said, you know what, thanks for coming over tonight. Because in a world of craziness and uncertainty, it felt like for 3 hours, I was able to escape from life. For 3 hours, I felt like all is well. And just that laughter, and even after they left, Heather was still laughing. And there was so much, it was just a great night. I said to myself, I'm not going to turn on the TV the rest of the night to mess this up. There's something about during times like this of uncertainty that we want to run from all these things. But if we're going to keep our eyes on Jesus, we're going to have to stay in the reading of the scripture. We're going to have to stay in prayer. We're going to have to stay in times of fellowship. And maybe you're right. Maybe you're here today and say, right now I'm not ready for big groups. Well, I'm not encouraging big groups, because look at the next verse. Can we read that together? For where two or three gather together as followers, I'm there among them. So maybe right now you're one of those people, you're running from small groups, and that I totally respect that. But I want to challenge you, let's not ever lose at least two or three people getting together. Two or three people following Jesus, and you're talking about things that are going to be building you up and edifying one another, encouraging one another. Because the Bible says those times need to increase as the day draws closer to the coming of Christ. So I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you, even this week, because we don't know what's going to happen in this gathering next week. Will we be able to gather? We don't know. We don't know what 7 days from today looks like. But I tell you what, if that happens, I want to encourage you, even if it doesn't happen, who are two or three people that you can have to your house? Who are two or three people that you can sit around a table with and break bread together with? Who are two or three other people that even at the beginning or the end of the night you can pray together with? And I want to encourage us, in this season of uncertainty, in this season of fear, one of the things we're going to have to really learn how to do is to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And I just want to encourage us today, we don't have to be fearful. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. I want to encourage you, Jesus wants to be your peace. He wants to be your strength. In the middle of the storm, he's the one who's stable. He's the one you can bank on 100% of the time. Let's pray together. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that no matter what may come our way, the uncertainties, the news reports, the changing of our schedules, the storms, the wind, the waves, the lightning, God, that no matter what comes our way, we just know that we can keep our focus on you. Yes, Lord, we watch the news. Yes, Lord, we're aware of what's going on, but we don't allow that to dictate our direction. But Lord, we keep our eyes solely upon you, Lord Jesus. As it says in Hebrews, the one who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And Father, I just pray that you'll be people, that we will be people, that you'll use this time for us as Christians to be a witness to the world around us, that even in these certain uncertain times, that there are still people that can have peace, and their peace is not their own. Their peace doesn't come from the world, but their peace and their hope comes because they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, we can walk around with confidence, not arrogance. We can walk around with confidence because you are with us. And so, Lord, just be with us. Be with our country. Be with our leaders who have to make big decisions. Lead them and guide them. Give them wisdom. Give them wise counsel from outside. Lord, we place our country in your hands. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you, Father, the God who says, fear not, for I am with you. For I am with you. So Lord, go, as we go today, we ask that each one of us goes with you. We don't go home alone, but we go with you in our hearts, in our lives. And Jesus, I just pray that all these things that are going on would be actually a time where we could reevaluate our lives and say, maybe there's other things that have become more important, but this is a good time to say, in these times of uncertainty, Jesus, would you be at the center of my life again? May nothing get in the way of serving you. And Lord, we just thank you for this day that we could be in your house. And God, I just pray right now that people in this room would begin to, even online, would begin to sense your peace that would begin to flow over their lives and give them strength. And Lord, be with your people. I just pray for health. I pray for wholeness. I pray, God, that you would be with us. You promised you would, and you're faithful to your promises. Just pray right now. I just want us right now just in your lap, no one looking around, just in your lap, open your hands and face upward. Just say, Lord, I receive your peace. Lord, I just receive your peace. I receive the hope that's in Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. Just open your hands and your heart to say, come, hold. You can whisper that, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, be with me. Be with my family. Be with my kids. Keep them safe. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. I want to thank everyone in this room for being here. I want to thank all the people online for joining us today. Just want to let you know, we're not sure what next Sunday holds. Some of those decisions aren't always our decisions. So you can continue to go online during the week, and we'll keep you posted as soon as we possibly can if there's changes. At the very minimum, it will be me in a room doing this by myself. I hope that's not the case. That would be weird. But hey, all you folks in TV land, anyway. But I just want to encourage you, we're going to try to meet together because I really believe people need a place of refuge. Amen. I read through the story of Solomon when he dedicates the new temple and he prays. He prays a 7-part prayer, and one of the parts of the prayer he says, Lord, may the temple be a place of refuge. And that's the one reason alone why we're still gathering today, because I want people to be able to come and have a place of refuge, where they can come and gather in Jesus' name. And that's going to be our heart's cry. That's going to be our heart's motive. But we know that that's not always going to be our final decision. So stay posted this week. Encourage one another this week. Hey, here's a big one. Invite somebody to your house this week. Feed them. Pray together. Boast about Jesus together. Reclaim the table together.